colors start to come back. Won't you roll with me? When you roll with me, the colors start to come back. Won't you roll with me?
Welcome to Radical Listening, a Portland podcast where we talk to local artists about their current projects. I'm your host, Phil Johnson. That's at Phil Johnson Live.
And I'm Clifton Holtz-Noggle, the co-host. And you can find me on Instagram at Holtzbagel. That's H-O-L-Z Bagel. Now, today we have two guests who are currently members of the Institute for Contemporary Performance. And they've got their final show coming up called Lost, Found, and the Liberation that Accompanies Both. You can see that at Coho Theater May 16th through 19th.
I'm really excited about these guys. We were able to see some of their work today, and I was blown away. I love audience interaction. I love clowning, and I think that this piece in particular has got a lot of great qualities. I'm very excited to talk to these guys.
Yeah. What's great is there's going to be 7 small performances within the entirety of the thing, so we've seen a few of them so far. And we're going to get to talk to Bailey Brown and Julia Brandenberger. Bailey, how are you today?
I'm great. And you can find me on Instagram at Bailey, B-A-Y-L-E-Y-B Brown, B-R-O-W-N.
Yeah, she jumps right in. I like that.
How about you, Julia?
I'm doing well. I don't have an Instagram yet.
That's fine.
No Instagram.
No. No Instagram. I'm on Facebook.
Facebook.
But you have to add her as a friend.
Oh, gee.
You can't like her as a page.
Oh. No, you can like me as a page.
You can like you as a page?
Here, let me tell you how to find me.
What's the deets?
All right, it's Facebook, Rogue Theology, R-O-G-U-E, space, T-H-E-O-L-O-G-Y.
Nice.
I gotta Bailey,
say,
what's so funny?
Clifton started this whole spelling your ad out, and it's really caught on. I don't know that I'm a fan.
I don't think we have to do it.
No, it's great. You know, it is what it is. So, in case you don't know how to spell Phil Johnson Live.
Could you tell us how to spell Phil Johnson Live?
You can wait till the end of the show where I'll be spelling it forwards and backwards. Wow.
That's really quite impressive.
Well, now you have to commit to that. You really got to do it.
No. You think I'm joking, but I'm actually very serious.
Yeah.
I'll also be
You don't know the kind of shit we'll add in post.
So, guys, glad to have you with us. Please tell me about how you got involved with ICP and how this project in particular got started.
Well, this is Bailey speaking again. I happened to do the Del Arte Summer Intensive with Clifton a few summers ago. And that's a 3-week intensive physical theater program. And I was looking at different programs around the country to get involved with. And it just was the right time for me to expand my skills. I was looking for something to completely push me out of my comfort zone in the physical theater realm.
Okay.
And I found the Institute for Contemporary Performance. And so I decided to move up here to attend the program.
Great, great. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I came from Philadelphia. I moved here last July. And yeah, I'd been doing devised theater in Philly with, I started at Headlong in their program, Headlong Dance Theater, and that was in 2015, had been devising work since then, and when I got to Portland, I was looking for devising groups, theaters to get connected with, and I found the training program, and it was a lot of material that I hadn't done before in devising and physical theater, so yeah, that's why I went for it.
That's awesome. Yeah. That was awesome. So, I mean, so obviously, when I was looking at your piece, I could tell that you have a heavy dance background. What dance did you do, and how did you transfer from dance into theater?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was. So I'm a Quaker. We have this phrase called way opening.
Okay.
And then there's also way closing. Okay. You know, so like way opening is like opportunities arise and just pop up, and way closing is like nope, 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 nope. So dance for me, I'm a ballet dancer. And the ballet world is just a hell of a lot of way closing. But the good thing about way closing is it points you in a direction. Mm-hmm. So for me, it just started to feel like, okay, I love dance. I've got to stay connected to it. But there's something else out there for me. There's more out there. I have to keep looking and exploring. I know I'm a performer. And I started improvising at a music festival and like just found that, whoa, like I really love playing with people. I love playing with an audience. I'm a comedian. And then just from there, I took off clown and everything else. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so in your background, so how did you make that transition? I mean, were you always in comedy specifically, or were you a theater person growing up, or?
My first memory is riding an elephant. That's serious.
That's your first memory.
Yeah.
So you just kind of woke up on an elephant one day.
It's like, this is how it's going to be.
No, it's like whenever I was, I don't know, in middle school, I was like, Mom, did I ride an elephant? And she's like, yes, you did. And I was like 2.5. Yeah. And that's how I kind of knew that was, because I remembered it being hairy and being surprised that it was hairy and being on top of it. But whenever I was 18 and I was leaving, I was always a class clown in school, mm-hmm. at least through high school. I was too shy before that. Mm-hmm. I decided to get into clowning with a friend of mine who was traveling around the United States and doing street performance.
Okay.
And so that was my first real introduction to clown, besides going to like circus performances or seeing them put up the tent whenever I was a kid and that sort of thing. But like actually like being involved with it and trying to do things like balancing mm-hmm. like a pool stick on your hand and transferring it to another, or doing it on your chin or whatever. And then I was a radio professional for 14, 15 years, mm-hmm. and I ended up in Humboldt County, California, and they have one of the best physical theater programs in the world, and it showed me that clown can be connected to theater, which mm-hmm. I love, and it showed me some of my favorite things growing up, like Charlie Chaplin and the Three Stooges, like, can be realized on stage, and after being immersed in that community for several years, I knew that I had to, having a reporter background, I need to have viewpoints from many different angles. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking for a program that was going to give me a different viewpoint. And so that's one reason that I decided to come up here. I know that many of the people that are involved with the program have a deep background in like the City Company from New York. And so that was really neat. And I've heard that Philip is great. And I've had experience, so I know this now. He's great to work with in the clown realm. And so I wanted to seek a program that would help me enhance those skills. And it's part-time, so I was able to go to school and work, so I didn't go into debt, which yeah. was awesome. Mm-hmm.
Which is important.
Very huge. Yeah, I was wondering, because you've been so plugged into the Del Arte community for a while, right? Because you did the 3-week intensive, but you've been like going to their showings for a long time. Is that true?
And I lived in Blue Lake.
Right. So you're around them all the time. You know what that's about. I was just kind of wondering, like, what are the differences you've seen between the Del Arte program versus ICP?
I never took the professional training program, and I never took the 3 years master's
right,
program
yeah.
at Del Arte. And so Del Arte is way more character based, way more Lecoq based, way more, although it's like a medley of many different styles whenever you're into that program. Here it's also a medley of different things, different things. But they focus, like, the Del Arte program, they don't really go over Suzuki. They don't really have, I noticed, maybe it's because one of our cohort members is really into Grotowski, but I've learned way more about him, and I know that they only do that for a very short time mm-hmm. At Del Arte. Also, they cover Anne Bogart a lot more
mm-hmm.
In the ICP program. It's just different ways of approaching different things.
Totally.
Yeah.
For either of you, is there any one of the methods at ICP that has been resonating with you most strongly out of the several methods they teach?
Well, I'm a clown at heart. I mean, I just I think Philip's style of clowning emphasizes like sharpness and crispness, and I'm coming from a pachinko background, and that's really, it's so improv. And so when I first got into Phillips Clown, it was like, we're setting clown? This is this is outrageous. What the hell is this? But I mean, it helps to kind of land the, like, he's really into, like, land those takes with the audience and, like, shoot, and, like, your energy coming from your solar plexus, because I was always taught, like, eyes, and I don't think that's wrong, but also having it, you know, energy from the solar plexus pointing in a certain direction and being crisper and sharper, I think that that has dramatically helped my clowning. I still have to put it in my piece, that kind of sharpness, but, but no, I feel like I've learned from him a lot, so, yeah.
Yeah, you were hitting the sharpness pretty well. I could see Phillip's training in there.
Okay, good. yeah, awesome. Good job,
but,
Phillip.
You know, it was always, that was hard for me, too. You know, it's like
right.
that very specific, like, just, you know, remembering to even, like, land that take before you exit or whatever, you know. It's a really cool exercise to be holding so many things in your mind at once. Be like, try to have some sort of freedom and expression, but then also remember these very technical things about, like, hit that mark and hit that mark. But when, I don't know,
totally.
You learn what's funny and then how to accent it, it lands even better, you know.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because the piece, the Clown Bolero piece, is about mixing clown and ballet, and I've seen so many overlaps in them, and that's another one. It's like how to have that freedom of expression while also hitting these very specific things and a million things going on in your head at once that you have to kind of scan and do it all and then remember what's most important and prioritize. And so, yeah, it's like there's a lot of similarities there.
yeah, totally. How about you, Bailey? Any one of the methods in particular that's been resonating with you?
Yeah, you happen to be in the room with, like, the two clowns in the program, right. Like the two clown enthusiasts, rather, although there are some, like, all of our ensemble members are fantastic at clown. But Julie and I are doing the most clown in the production piece. And so we're obviously the most attracted to that. And Phillip's way of clowning, it's, I see it's inspiration, the commedia influences within that. And I really like being able to have that and being able to feel the sense of timing more for certain things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm really attracted, I get really excited about his classes. I actually at times plan flights around going to clown and be able to make it. I had to go home because my mom was sick a couple times. But I love that. And I also love the viewpoints training as well. Yeah. And it was, I did not know too much about viewpoints beforehand. But then doing it, it's been really, really fantastic.
Great. So I'm interested to talk a little bit more about the show that you guys are performing next week. What was the seed for that show? What was the first, you know, gesture or source material that kind of sparked the performance?
It'll be different. The answers for that will be different for probably each person, because we all really have separate pieces. The spark for Clown Bolero came in November of last year. That's when that idea first sparked, and I thought, okay. And then I just did it in my living room here in January, and then it worked its, you know, way into the the program, and then it was like, okay, this has to live through the program and live out through the show. And then Funances came in January, I think. About January, yeah.
And so how did Finances start? Did you say, hey, I want to talk about artists and finances, or?
Well, I wanted to make a character and really explore deep character creation. And that was something that I really wanted to do. And Julia had this great proposition for taking this serious information that she's been working on about how it being so difficult to be an artist and different ways that people make it work, and trying to do a presentation in order to show, like, share that information with people, but in an entertaining way. And so originally Julia was not going to perform in the piece, and August, who does Mr. Blue, was performing in it. And so August and I had started by just doing some writing after reading Julia's research. And then we wrote each other compositions, which is basically some prompts with how to start creating something. And we did a series of like 4 to 6 of them and started developing our characters from those.
Okay. And so the costumes that your characters are in, at what point did that come into the room? Were you... Do you develop the clown character first and then you layer the costume on, or do you kind of find the clown character through the costume?
So the the inspiration for those, at first there were 3 of them and they were all motivational types. Mm-hmm. So there was one new age speaker, motivational speaker, like you can do it. You can like heal your life, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Then there's the workout instructor who's like, you got this, keep going, keep pushing. And then there's the dominatrix who's like, you're going to do this. I'm going to tell you how to do it right now. You know, and like really like, you know, these 3 types of motivation. And the dominatrix was in there for like a hot second and then it kind of fell away. And then what happened is I actually got a disc injury to my spine. And then I started having to do intense, like really intense PT every night, physical therapy every night. And as I'm doing this physical therapy, then it just like sparks in my head. I'm like, oh, what I'm doing to my back to rebalance my muscles, that's a metaphor for what we could be doing with this whole lecture, you know, like finding some way to give an art therapy, not a revenue therapy to our artistic practice, how to balance it so that we don't injure ourselves and burn out, you know, essentially. Yeah. So then I was like, okay, I'm the fitness instructor. And then how did BJ... How did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, August gave me a prompt to have a character that hopped the ore green originally.
Okay.
And so it's BJ started out as kind of like an elf and then kind of turned into a character that was inspired by a raccoon. And then just kind of, I don't know, I just kind of walked into the room one day
with, and you're like,
with my glasses on with BJ. It started with those others and I was searching around to the dominatrix for a minute, but then BJ just kind of wanted to come out. And so Billy Joe is my character's name and she's a 70-year-old accountant. And I wanted to explore what it was like to be older earlier, and I had expressed that and actually played an older witch kind of lady in a smaller production that we did in December. And so I've wanted to know what it's like to move and to have the energy and to have the body of somebody who is a different age group than I am. And 70 is like as far away as I could fathom. Trying to go, and I am way more in the creative realm nowadays, although I used to be super into math and stuff, and so I guess part of me is still kind of there.
Yeah.
And so I just walked in and I had the glasses and I put a work light right in front of me and it had this great effect, and that was BJ. And originally she wore a sweatshirt that said, I can make the world better.
Aw. I like, it's funny because like, you say like, went from elf to raccoon to 70-year-old lady, and that might sound ridiculous, but like, I'm like, I can see that. You know, like looking at the character also, you know, I can see that. And
it seems like there's a lot of like really relatable frustrations that kind of come out in this piece.
Oh Lord.
You guys feel like there's kind of an element of catharsis for you in this piece?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was really excited at first, you know, I do the size in the beginning and then Philip suggested, and during the song, during Jock Jams, he's like, why don't you just scream? And I was like, that's what it feels like. Cause these are really what they're supposed to be, a prayers. And that's what it feels like. It's like, God, please, fucking, excuse me, I don't know if
you can,
but, you know, like, just, God, oh my God, what's going on? How am I going to make this work? Duh! You know, and, like, it's so cathartic. It's like, this is what it feels like to be an artist in America. So, yeah.
And it's like, why does it have to be this hard?
Yeah.
Why is it this tough? Like, why do I have to work like 80 hours a week?
Right.
Yeah.
Like doing several different things just to make ends meet. And yeah. like, I'm doing everything that I want to do for like basically free.
Yeah. Just because nobody respects what we do, you know? I mean, we have to entertain and then we have to work. One of the parts that really impacted me was that moment when you mentioned, oh yeah, you have to be a creator, but then you have to be a marketer, and then you have to be
a project manager too, because you're a creative partner too, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it was also funny, you were like, broke it down, and I don't want to give everything away, but you basically broke it down to like, well, if you want to make like a reasonable living, it's like, you know, you got to bill yourself, you know, $30 an hour, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and it was just like hilarious.
Who's gonna pay
that? You're like, ha ha ha. It's like, to make $45,000 a year, it's like, we're just like, yeah, right.
And $45,000 a year is not a lot of money.
Even a lot of money.
Yeah. Most people are like, you know, trying to make more than that.
Exactly.
Right.
Most careers start with $45,000.
I was going to say, that's an entry position.
Right, that's, yeah.
I know. And I talk to people like my sister, who's like a social worker, and she's like, I'm trying to find a new job. But, you know, if they're not talking about $60,000 a year, I don't even know I'd apply. I'm like,
ah! But to be honest, making $60,000 a year in social work, I don't even know how you do that.
No, but it's highly relatable content for any entrepreneur, really. Because my neighbor is, she's a career coach. Mm-hmm. And she felt like, this was totally relatable to me. I don't know if she would identify as an artist. But yeah, for anybody who's trying to push their own... I mean, artists, we are just individual businesses. And if you're trying to push your own business, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
just... yeah.
But then other pieces within the festival also go on the same topic. Like Lady in Pink talks about how crazy it is that you have to basically block out your schedule so much.
And I think there's something about the program, that program in particular, that teaches you about it. Because, I mean, it's like I did college. And that was like, I was just going to college when I was in college. I was lucky enough that I wasn't really having to like support myself while I was in college.
I like you phrased that. I did college.
You know, like, right. Because then it was like, then I did this year-long program. It's like, yeah, I'm doing that, but I'm also like working all day. And there was like a 5-month period when I didn't have a day off.
Right. Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And it just made me think, do I really want to be doing this? And I've worked in a lot of production jobs and factories and stuff like that. And I talk to entrepreneurs and a lot of small business people, like one person businesses. I've worked around people who were like doing that. And like this one guy who makes a coffee drink, and he's like, yeah, it's one thing to make like a good product. Like a lot of people can make a good product. Selling it's the hard part, you know? And it just, when you just said it, reminded me, like, right. Cause we're businesses and, you know, there's a lot of great artists out there with no idea how to sell what they're making.
Right.
And that, in a capitalist society, and like capitalism, it's gonna fuck you up. So,
it's true. For all the young artists out there,
don't do it. I mean, keep going.
No. Study business,
and
then become an artist.
No, for real. That would be
go
if
to school
I could
for business, and if you can still make art while you're doing it, then you can be an artist.
All of my favorite artists are businessmen.
But for real, like if you go to your undergrad, get some sort of here's my advice. Research the highest paying jobs that you can do part-time. If you can get a job that is like, no, and I've gotten close with field marketing. I'm super close. But if you can get a job that is $30 an hour and you can work like 20 hours a week, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then you need to learn also how to invest, essentially. I mean, like I'm not an investment pro or a business pro or anything like that, but we need to be able to create our own retirement funds.
Well, of course, finances and Clown Blair are going to be awesome, but also the rest of it's going to be awesome too.
Great, yeah.
We're going to start off with a completely immersive experience that's going to probably push your boundaries.
It's the Mountain Goats, right?
And that's Mountain Goats.
Yeah, I got to see a little run through with that earlier, participate in a run through with that.
And the question is, did you dance?
Oh, I danced.
Yeah,
I did the whole
danced.
Thing. I went through it. Did you get to go through it?
Yeah.
Nice. He went through it. Good. Yeah, we both.
Well, I didn't go through it, but I danced.
You danced,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. The night that I came to
teach me how to roll. It's been a long time since anybody's rolled with me. Keegan's hilarious. Anyways, yeah.
Keegan cracks me up. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, you got seven pieces of that's the first one. Yeah.
And then there's Lady in Pink. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of that?
Whose is that one?
That's one of Claire's. Claire is in three now. Oh. Yeah.
I just saw the Claire and Keegan piece.
Palindrome Machines.
Yes. Yeah. Which was, yeah, exactly. Which was great.
Which is going to come after intermission.
Oh, cool. Well, who do you think this show is for? You know, like, if you were to say our target audience, you know, thinking like a marketer, as we all do.
Because we are.
Well, this isn't a smooth financial move, but our target audience is artists, for sure, for finances. I mean, I want people in that room to feel like they're really seen. But also to have people who aren't as aware of what really goes into the work of being an entrepreneur or an artist, just kind of get a look at it. So, ooh, here's a good financial strategy.
Yeah.
Let's get lots of investors in that room.
It's our target audience. Yeah, people with money.
Our target audience is investors.
Yeah. We should go to Nike and put up our flag.
Let's do plugs. So, yeah, who's got a plug? You got anything you want to plug?
Who's got the plug?
I do. Call me.
Tell us, Julia.
Yeah.
What's your plug, Julia Weinberger?
You there in the front row. Mm-hmm. Right there with the yellow headband.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I've got to type in my password one more time. Excuse me. Hello. I'm the representative for the Solo Festival 2019, Portland, Oregon. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Solo Fest. Okay. Solo Fest is a do-it-yourself festival dedicated to new experimental work, focusing on solo performance that is low maintenance and low stress. Hallelujah for that! Alrighty. Solo provides artistic opportunity and impetus for artists of all disciplines to create work that defies conventional theater expectations. Fantastic! I've got a little bit of a southern drawl going on now. Okay. Now,
Switching regions.
Solo Festival is run by volunteer labor. Therefore, it's free for artists to enter.
Free labor.
Free labor. Okay, the 2019 festival is June 13th through 23rd. If you want to put If you want to put a piece into Solo Fest, we want to see your piece. Go to Solo Fest. Damn it. Go to solopdx.com/join.
And how do you spell solo?
Oh, let me tell you. It's S-O-L-O-W, as in so low to the ground. DIY. Free. Performances. Pay what you can. Performances are not free. They are pay what you can. Free for artists to enter. Solopdx.com.
And you're plugging that because you are entered in that, correct?
My boyfriend Colin and I are the festival directors for Portland. We are putting this whole thing on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And is this this has happened other places, yes?
This started in Philadelphia in 2010. Yes, by a group of solo artists. They were all doing solos together, and then they decided, hey, why don't we just make a festival? So since then, it's grown exponentially, and it's amazing because it gives artists an opportunity just make and show something. And I'm doing the performance in my living room here.
Where we are right now.
So the festival really encourages artists to use spaces that are going to be non-traditional, so that the overhead costs are really low.
See, that's great, because you had reached out to me about doing this, and then I got all freaked out because I realized I needed to find a space, and I was like looking all around. But then you're like, what if you just did it before my piece in my living room?
Just come
like,
to
the living room.
So yeah, just come cool. to my living room. You know.
And you know, now that I've seen your piece, the Clown Bolero, and its dance influence, I had been going. I had like two kind of piece ideas, and one of them is a tap dancing routine.
Yay!
And I don't know how to tap dance, so I feel like it'd be perfect.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yes.
What size do you wear?
What size do I wear? Feet wise. Usually like a 9, but it depends on the brand. Sometimes it's as low as an 8.
I found the other day at Goodwill 7 women's tap dancers.
You found 7 of them? What?
How do you have anything that you want to promote?
I'd like to plug again.
Yay, excellent.
Lost and Found and the liberation that accompanies both, May 16th through 19th at Coho Theater. At 2257 Northwest Raleigh Street. So come out and see it. You can go to peteensemble.org/ICP Festival. Not as Insane Clown Posse, but as an Institute for Contemporary Performance.
That was a
Thank you for that distinction. Sure that you do that. Although, if you want to come in, you know, dressed as a clown, we're not going to say no.
Juggalos. I don't have any projects necessarily coming up at the moment. Although, I am hoping to be doing a slime workshop at Shift Festival, so keep your eye out for Dr. OK. That's me. I'll teach you how to make some slime. Otherwise, I'm really hoping to see Fire and Meat at Headwaters over the next, I think they're running this weekend.
I want to see that too.
And that would be, they're running just this coming weekend, which would be, what's this coming weekend? The 10th-ish? Yeah, we'll call it that. Up at Headwaters. Take a look.
Why is that?
Why is that? Oh, it's some people I know are doing that. It's a take on the Grendel story, I believe. And Eve Johnstone is the one who I believe wrote and directed that. Rutabaga Story Company is the theater company there. And she's a real go-getter. Me and her and Claire, who's in it, and someone else, we all dressed up in full-on black bodysuits the other day and did some weird shit in a room for a video. So, good people. Go see it.
Great. For me, while we're talking about devising, the Vanport Mosaic Festival is running the weekend of May 25th through June 2nd. That's led by Damaris Webb, and they're going to put together, it's kind of like a short, you know, 20-minute piece that they've put together over the last 6 weeks or something like that. I've been involved with that. I'm doing sound design for it. It's funny, and that is happening. It's happening at the Interstate Fire Cultural Center, 5340 North Interstate Avenue. Again, that's the weekend of May 25th. It's coming right up. I also did design for Cop Out, which will be opening next weekend and running for 2 weeks. So if you get a chance to see Cop Out, you definitely should. And thank you guys so much for
thanks for hanging in there, yeah, y'all. Thanks for showing us your work and letting us come into your home and record.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Next time we're charging you.
Great.
Thanks again. I'm Phil Johnson. That's at Phil Johnson Live. PhilJohnsonLive on Instagram.
Backwards.
And Twitter.
You said backwards.
Yeah, backwards. Backwards.
We want backwards. We want backwards.
PhilJohnsonLive.
And this is Clifton Holtznoggle again. You can figure out the spelling on your fucking own.
Radical listening.
Radical listening.
Y'all feel a little bit more active. Y'all feel a little bit more active. Y'all feel a little bit more active. Y'all feel a little bit more active.
The others will be here soon. You'll need them.
Before you came, I said, on anybody, roll.
Thank you.